But I read about this one Christmas morning, a husband gave his wife a beautiful skunk coat. And that is one pictured before you. When his wife opened it up, she said, "I can't see how such a nice coat can come from such a foul-smelling beast." The husband erupted, "I don't ask for thanks, but I do demand respect." Then she had to explain she wasn't talking about him. She's talking about the skunks. But I want us to see in that statement from the husband something that I think is important, and that's the word respect. I believe many men perceive love, or they spell love, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, respect. I mentioned to you last week I've been working through a book entitled Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerich, and it's based upon these two ideas. And it's based upon this passage of Scripture from Ephesians 5, verse 33. "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular," speaking to husbands, "so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband." And again, I underscore, I believe that's how many men, if not most men, perceive love, is through respect. How is it, what is it that wives can do to show respect to their husbands? Well, Dr. Eggerich spells out the word chairs, C-H-A-I-R-S, to stand for different concepts, different ways of demonstrating respect to your husband. Now, I want to share some information and add some for the first five. The letter S will is more of a physical intimacy, and I'm going to save that for another occasion. C is for conquest. Boy, that's going to rub some people wrong. Conquest. Conquest sounds like something out of the dark ages of chauvinism, when men believed it was their right to conquer women, so to speak. That is not what is meant by this word in this context. Conquest refers to the desire of many men to go out and conquer the challenges of the world. It speaks to many men's desire to work and to be successful, to achieve something in life in regards to their work. Here's a quote from Dr. Eggerich. "As a wife, if you can start to understand how important your husband's work is to him, you will take a giant step toward communicating respect and honor. Two things that he values tremendously." What are we saying? That to many men, their work is very important. And that wives would do well to understand that and to acknowledge that to them. Perhaps it goes back to the beginning. And I mean the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, we read that the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. In that perfect paradise where the trees would bear fruit and there would be all needs provided, it was still given to Adam this task of taking care, of cultivating, keeping the garden. Adam had a great job, perfect working conditions, but yes, there was something missing. In Genesis chapter 1, you'll find it said, "And God created it, and it was good, and it was good." Genesis 2:18, "However, it is not good, God said, that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable, suitable to him." And thus he created Eve. The first marriage was formed. But wives, don't forget that from the very beginning, man was called to work in the field, if you will, to provide for his family. And many men feel a deep need to be involved in adventure and conquest. And that's often fulfilled in the work that we choose to do. How important is it to most men when we meet one another for the first time, when we greet, we often ask, "What do you do? What do you do for a living? What's your occupation?" Because so many times we identify ourselves by our work. Now, To workaholics, that's another lesson for another time. But wives would do well to support your husband's efforts for conquest, to get out there to work and to achieve. H is for hierarchy. Another one of those terms that may find resistance in so much of society today. But Colossians 3:18 and other passages state, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Granted, it's a concept, a teaching that's been abused. For example, there was a husband that I read about, read a book entitled Man of the House. And after he finished reading it, he decided he was going to go home and put some of these principles into action. So the first thing he did, he stormed into the house and walked directly up to his wife. Pointing his finger in her face, he said, "There's going to be some changes around here. From now on, I want you to know that I'm the man of this house and my word is law. You're to prepare me a gourmet meal tonight, and when I'm finished with my meal, I expect a sumptuous dessert afterwards. And then after dinner, you're going to draw my bath so I can relax. And when I'm finished with my bath, guess who's going to comb my hair and dress me?" His wife thought for a moment and responded, "The funeral director is my guess." Yes, it's been abused. It has been abused. Over the centuries, men have misused this scripture in ignorant, abusive, and even evil ways. And many of these type actions have been justified saying, "Well, the Bible says so." But the Bible doesn't say so in those matters. What does the Bible say? Ephesians 5:22 is another passage. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And yes, the word subject or submit comes from a compound Greek word that means to rank under or place under. And it has to do with headship in the home. It does not say that husbands are superior to wives, not at all. But it is a difference in roles. And God's plan is that within the family, that husbands are to be the head. They're to be the leaders, the loving leaders. Ephesians 5:25, in the same context, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." And what that means is that husbands are given an awesome responsibility to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. And that wives are called upon to place themselves under that protection, under that leadership. But I maintain that if we husbands will do a good job of practicing Ephesians 5:25, that our wives will not have a problem submitting to that type of leadership. If we do a better job of loving our wives like Christ loved the church, our wives will not have a problem placing themselves under our headship. One wife said, "I want him to be the head. I just want to know he has my needs in his heart." If husbands are to lead, if fathers are to lead their families in the way that God desires, then we will have the needs of our family at our hearts. But we will take the lead. Let me share with you an example. This is a preacher out in Los Angeles. He lost his wife. This is Dr. E.V. Hill. Lost his wife to cancer. And at her funeral, Dr. Hill described some of the ways that she made him a better man. And he told about, as a young preacher, he struggled to earn a living, to provide for the needs of the household. And one night he came home and he found that the house was dark, but he opened the door and he saw that his wife Jane had a candlelight dinner prepared. He thought, how wonderful, how nice is that? And so he went to the restroom to wash his hands before they ate, and he flipped on the light, but nothing happened. He went into the bedroom, flipped on the light, nothing happened. He went in and asked Jane, why is there no electricity? Why is the electricity not on? And she began to cry, and she said these words, "You work so hard, and we're trying, but it's pretty rough. I didn't have enough money to pay the light bill. I didn't want you to know about it, so I thought we would just eat by candlelight." Dr. Hill, as he was relating this, related it with intense emotion. He said she could have said, "I've never been in this situation before. I was reared in the home of Dr. Carruthers, and we never had our lights cut off." She could have broken my spirit, he said. She could have ruined me. She could have demoralized me. But instead, she said, "Somehow or other, we'll get these lights back on. But tonight, let's eat by candlelight." What did she do for him? She found a way to show respect for her husband and for his efforts. When she had the opportunity to demoralize him, she chose rather to support her husband and to show him respect and to appreciate his desire to protect and to provide. Hierarchy suggests headship. A stands for authority, and it's very much related. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. There was an eager young wife at one of Dr. Egerich's seminars, and she came out and said, "I want him to be the head. I want him to be the leader. I just want to make sure that he makes decisions in keeping with what I want." And she didn't realize what she had said until others began to chuckle, saying, and she realized what she was saying. "I want him to be the head, but I want him to do what I want." But the husband is the head of the home, and the wife is to be subject to him. Again, it's an issue of God-given roles. It's not an issue of worth. But a Christian husband doesn't try to use his position of head as some kind of club to beat down his wife and his children. He acts responsibly and lovingly to be the leader that God has asked him to be. And wives, in turn, are to appreciate and respect his desire to serve and to lead. Authority. Insight. Eyes for insight. I love this one. It's subtitled, "Appreciate His Desire to Analyze and Counsel." Any of you men like to analyze things? Have you been accused of being very, very analytical? Well, I would suggest to us that that can be a good thing. It lends well to solving problems many times. But I have to be reminded about something we stated last week, that we need to ask our wives, do you want the problem solved or you just want us to listen? Because we tend to be problem solvers. We tend to be analytical. But we need to recognize, all of us, we do not need to be wise in our own eyes. We need to appreciate counsel, good, godly counsel. Yes, men should listen to their wives because women are naturally intuitive. But wives should not fail to appreciate the insight that God has given to their husbands as well. Your husband will feel you appreciate his insight and counsel when these things are accomplished. You thank him for his advice without acting insulted or like he doesn't care about your feelings. You recognize his problem-solving approach as his male brand of empathy. You discuss things with him respectfully when you differ with him. And you let him know that you believe God has made us male and female for a purpose and that we need each other. We complement each other. Yes, we are different, male and female. But God intended for those differences to complement one another. And perhaps the insight of the husband, the father, may be helpful in solving problems. Wives, you can show respect by appreciating that insight. And R is for relationship. R is for relationship. Let me share something with you from Dr. Egerich's book that I couldn't help but laugh because I can see this so readily. They'd been married for just 7 years. When they came to me for help, because they kept getting into what they called huge fights. How did the fight start, I asked. Well, she explained that she would be in the kitchen cleaning, or perhaps ironing. He would call her from the room where he was reading the paper or watching television. Honey, why don't you just come in here and sit with me? Thinking this was an opportunity to relate, she would go to her husband and start talking to him. No, he would tell her, don't talk. I just want you to be in here with me. Confused, she would say, but you called me in here. You must want to talk to me. No, I just want you in here. I don't want you to talk. But you must have something you must want to talk about. You called me in here. And so that's how the great big fights would begin. And this couple came to Dr. Egerich. What's the problem here? And he began to explain, that's how many men communicate, by sharing experiences. Women share experiences, many of them do, by talking about them to each other, examining and infusing the experiences with their impressions and emotions. But men are different. They share their experiences by sharing an activity, just being present, just being in the same room, not necessarily talking, but just wanting to have her near. Philippians 2 verse 4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. It's a great passage for application in the home, that we look out for the interests of others. And that means, yes, our wives, most of them, have the need to communicate, to be open, to discuss things. But wives, it is also helpful to recognize that in many men, just being present, just being in the same room, not necessarily talking, can be very, very meaningful. One person suggested it this way: many men have shoulder-to-shoulder interests, not face-to-face. And that would go to communication styles, whereas many, and perhaps many women, want face-to-face. They want to make sure there's eye contact, that there is, the wheels are turning and receiving the information and being able to give it back, to communicate. Whereas men may not have to be facing one another or another person in order to communicate, just shoulder to shoulder, just again, that presence. And here's an example. One wife decided to go deer hunting with her husband, using the bow and arrow. She helped him set up the blind. They sat there for hours waiting for a deer to happen by. They saw nothing. They shot at nothing. And they said nothing. Finally, they took down the blind and headed back to the car. To this point, she had not said one word the entire time. And as they were walking down the trail, her husband turned to her and said, "This was awesome. This was awesome." No communication. No talking. How did he perceive it? She did something with me that I enjoyed. She was with me in this activity, and that was especially meaningful. Many women want to talk to be close. We must respect that. Many men desire shoulder to shoulder with a lot less talking. There must be obviously some give and take in this situation. Just as sometimes he must make the effort to be with you face to face, you must also make the effort to be with him shoulder to shoulder. These are just a few of the things of many more. I hope I'm not in too much trouble. But I found these to be biblically based and very helpful. But it goes back again. The basis of this is what God's word has said all along. Husbands, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. But as you study these passages, one thing becomes obviously clear. That these roles have everything to do with our submission to Christ. And with Christ as our model. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. What kind of love is that? It's a selfless love. It's a love that considers the need of the other above our own. It's agape love. It's a sacrificial love that communicates that I would even die for you. That's how much I love you. It's a forgiving love, for that's the very reason that Jesus went to the cross to die for our sins. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Wives, submit to your husbands. And again, it's a role. It's a way of demonstrating love and respect in the home. It doesn't mean that you're less a person in any way. For may I remind us that Jesus subjected himself to the Heavenly Father. Was he at all inferior? Absolutely not. But again, the scriptures would teach wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, as is fitting in the Lord. It has to do not only with your relationship with your husband, but your relationship with Christ. Again, he is our model in our relationships. But submitting to Christ is the key for each. I love the marriage triangle, Husband and wife, but with Christ at the top. And as husband and wife seek to submit their lives to Christ, then what happens is not only do they draw closer to Christ, but they draw closer to one another. And when each of us in our family relationships, in our friendships, and whatever, seek to model our behavior after Christ, then that's what makes our relationships what God intended. That's what makes them strong, and that's what will keep them intact. What about your relationship, not only with your family, not only with your friends, but let's start with the most important, your relationship with Christ. Have you submitted your will to His? Are you living in obedience to His will? Let's get that one right first, and then we'll be in a position to be the right kind of husband, to be the right kind of wife, to be the right kind of parent, to be the right kind of child, to be the right kind of person. If you need to respond to the invitation of Christ tonight, we encourage you to do so right now as we stand and sing.